WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome into a new day here on the program, and a couple of days before Christmas here, the day before Christmas, and the final day that we're going to be here for you for this week, because after today, we're going to go with syndicated programming. Tomorrow night, beginning at 7 p.m., you're going to get commercial-free Christmas music all the way until 10 a.m. on Christmas Day. I know previously I had said different hours. I had said, I think, 6 to 12. But I had the wrong clock. So this clock was graciously made for us from Nancy Hall over at Fun 107, who knows all about music programming, and I do not. So she had made this for us, and I thought it was 6 to 12, but I was wrong, 7 to 10. So that's all right. Still plenty of commercial-free Christmas music for you, which will really just be background music to whatever else you have going on, right? So we will certainly have some fun today, since it is the final day of the week before the holiday. You can call in with whatever is on your mind at 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. There's a number of different things that we can discuss this morning on this 30 degree morning, which I walked out of the house saying, well, it feels a little bit warmer than I was expecting it to. Now, we are going to get some wintry mix weather later on. That it could be, you know, we're going to get a coating to an inch is what they're saying. But it'll be mostly a mix down here. Won't stick around enough for tomorrow, for Thursday to be considered a white Christmas. But I'm sure for those of you who have to travel today or tomorrow, you probably prefer it this way. The Christmas holiday, I think, coming on a Thursday is probably a good thing for a lot of people, because I'm sure many of you that have to work the day after Christmas, like, you know, we would normally work the day after Christmas, but because it's on a Friday, a lot of businesses are saying, just take that day off too. You know, normally in the past, we've worked day after Christmas, certainly day after New Year's. We've worked Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. But as I said, just so many people wanted to take those days off anyway that it just made sense to just have the day off. But we've got a couple more years of maybe extended Christmas weekends, because, you know, a lot of places, if Christmas falls on a Saturday or a Sunday, they're going to give you either the Friday or the Monday off around that. So if Christmas is on a Saturday, you'll probably get Friday off. If Christmas is on a Sunday, you'll probably get Monday off, because they have what they call Christmas observed, which they got to give you a day off. And then in a few years, we'll be back to, like, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Christmas, and then you won't get as much time off. So the calendar is a funny thing, the way people decide to utilize it. And so many people intentionally save their last vacation days for this week and next week just because of all that. Easier just to take it off and not have to worry about it. So 508-996-0500. As you heard from Mike Roberts, we had a ton of news that came out yesterday. In fact, I was, you know, trying to get some other things done, had some meetings, and then I just see press release after press release from the DA's office, and I'm yelling, saying, like, I'm on vacation. What is all this? And it's, you know, a lot of it was recent stuff, but some of it was stuff from weeks ago. But we've got it all up for you at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app for you to check out and read. But I found that bank robbery story was rather interesting. I remember writing about that when it happened. And part of it was, you know, these were homeless folks that had robbed this bank. They followed them back to their tent. The police did. And so I knew that these folks likely had some issues, some struggles. I thought at the time, you know, just kind of, it's, you don't write about it because you have to be just reporting the facts that are given to you. But in your mind, you start thinking about the scenarios and you say, well, maybe they just got so desperate for, you know, shelter, or maybe they're so hungry or whatever. But then you hear what happened from the DA's office, that they came out in court. And basically this woman, I believe Stephanie Farley was her name, said, you know, it's, robbing a bank is something I always wanted to do at least once. So she robbed the bank just because she wanted to. She wanted to see if she could get away with it. Spoiler alert, you didn't. But I thought out of all the, you know, the news that we have to deal with, every once in a while, you find a little thing like that that you say, well, at least they weren't, you know, doesn't sound like they were dangerous people. That doesn't make it any less traumatic for the people that went through the robbery. But at least they weren't dangerous people that, you know, intended harm. We also found out last night, I don't know if you were listening, I know a lot of you were calling into Barry's show yesterday wondering about what was going on with Ralph's cars. That the Church Street lot has emptied out and nobody's answering the door. Nobody's answering the phone. What's going on with Ralph's cars? So Brian was able to get Ralph on the phone last night and they had a conversation. I didn't get to hear all of it because I left here and I had to go run some errands. So it was kind of in and out in the car. But basically, Ralph, and I'm going to work on a story on it later today. Basically, Ralph said, listen, it's getting too expensive. The lease for the land is getting too expensive. The taxes are getting too high. All of the things that are involved with running the business is just starting to cost too much. And, you know, it's as Ralph said, you get to the point where you say, what am I in business for? Am I in business to make money for myself or to make money for everybody else? And so basically they've decided to shift the way that the Ralph operates. So as he was mentioning to Brian, you know, most of the employees have found other employment. Some of them are still weighing some other offers, but basically found a way, you know, to continue on with their careers, or in, you know, some cases might be going in a different direction, but, and that Ralph himself is going to continue to find cars for people. He's just going to do it on a smaller scale. And he's not ruling out the idea of opening up another car business, another lot, but just nothing as big as what he had on Church Street. So, I mean, everybody's fine in terms of, you know, medically and all that kind of stuff. I know some folks were concerned about that. If something had happened, something that was keeping them from being open. But no, this was a financial decision and kind of a shift in strategy of what they're doing. And so Ralph said, you know, everybody's got a job but me, but that he's going to continue to find cars for people. And it sounded to me like, you know, it was just, you look at the bottom line and you say, is this worth it? Which I think a lot of businesses go through. Even right now with inflation and all of that, aside from that, we could be having the best economy in the world and the best economy in history, which we don't. I know that that's what they tell you, but we don't. And even so, even in that best of times scenario, businesses have to examine what's working and what isn't. And the reality of the situation is you could be the best business owner in the world. You could have the best business acumen ever. And there's still external factors that come to play. So it sounds like, you know, they were able to do the right thing and make sure that this exit plan landed everybody on their feet. So that's the update on that. I'm also working on another story. Again, you know, I'm on vacation, but I'll still be writing stories today. On the loss of another iconic restaurant, this one on the Cape. But we are losing all of our classic Chinese restaurants. And I think this is an especially poignant topic here 2 days out from Christmas, because there are many people that get Chinese food for Christmas. And if certainly not for Christmas, they get it for New Year's Eve. Whether it's going out or getting takeout. And I can tell you firsthand, when I was a kid, we had quite a few Christmases at Tiki Port. So I remember living in Plymouth when I was in elementary school. And I'm pretty sure one of those years, I think the last year we lived there, we went to Tiki Port for Christmas dinner. And then when we lived on the Cape, we would go there. Because it was part of our, like, Christmas Day tradition. We would open up our gifts and hang out at the house for a little bit. And then we would go out to Tiki Port for dinner. And then we would go to the movies at the Cape Cod Mall. And so that's a place that, you know, I have lots of great memories at. Then when I started working in the paranormal world, there was a group on the Cape called CAPERS, Cape and Islands Paranormal Research Society, and they used to bring in guest speakers to speak at Cape Cod Community College. So that's how I first met Jeff Belanger and John Zaffis and Rosemary Ellen Guiley and all these folks that they would bring in for these lectures. And then afterwards, we'd go out with the CAPERS folks and the guest speaker, and we'd have dinner at Tiki Port. And every time I go to the Cape, if I've got the time, I go there and eat. So it's a place that has, you know, a lot of memories for me and certainly for a lot of other people. And it was one of those places that always seemed like it was locals and not tourists, even in the height of summertime. You know, I guess maybe the tourists were thinking seafood rather than Chinese, but, you know, it was definitely a community place. People walked into the bar, they knew each other. I didn't know anybody, but they, you know, you'd see that they knew each other. And it was always just one big kind of celebration going on in the lounge. And then in the restaurant, it was a true old school Chinese restaurant experience, you know, right down to, they were the last place that still brought out the pineapple with the fortune cookies at the end. They pour you all the tea you can drink. They have the little bowl of duck sauce, like all of it. And those places are now few and far between. I don't think there's very many left at all anymore, because Chinese has moved to the takeout variety. Or you get a sit-down place more akin to, say, Sweet Ginger or Wamei than you get these big, giant Chinese restaurants that have, you know, seating for hundreds of people and a party room and a lounge and golden Buddha statues and dragon statues and a fountain when you're walking in and all that kind of stuff. And pretty soon, kind of the granddaddy of them all, the Kowloon, will no longer be in existence either. I guess the plan is to, you know, put a new Kowloon in these buildings they're going to build on that property, but it won't be anything like what's there now. And that's a little bit sad, especially this time of year when I think a lot of folks think about Chinese food, whether for Christmas or New Year's. You know, the Hong Kong Islands, the Chuck's China Inns, and soon I guess the Kowloons. and the Tiki Port. Tiki Port's final day is going to be New Year's Eve. So at least they're going to go out with a bang, because I'm sure they'll be slammed that night. They were going to be slammed there last night anyway. But being on New Year's Eve, even more so. And you know, I don't go out on New Year's Eve. I stay home. But maybe I got to make one final trip to Tiki Port. I'll just go in the afternoon. 508-996-0500. I've got to get a break in here. Let me do that. When we come back, we'll have the news in a moment, and we can take your calls. 508-996-0500.
You're waking up with the Tim Weisberg Show. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app.
And welcome back in. We're going to be going into the news in just a moment. But before we do that, it is Christmas all over again. If you need a last minute gift, or if you need a gift card for the adult in your life, well, Stevie's Wine and Spirits is a great place to go. Not only do they have great suggestions for gifts, and when you walk in and you ask the crew at Stevie's, they can recommend so many great things. Things that'll definitely make you the standout star of Christmas. But at the same time, maybe you want to get a little something for yourself as well. So if you need something last minute, or if you need to go bring all the party supplies, you can stop by Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. Don't forget, anything with the purple dot, you can try before you buy. And their hours, they're going to be open regular hours today. So they'll be open until 8 p.m. Tomorrow, they're going to be open from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. So you got time to get some last minute stuff. And then on Christmas, they'll be closed. And back on Friday to their regular schedule, 10 to 8. Then on Wednesday, 12:31, New Year's Eve, they're going to be open from 10 to 3. So you get another shot at, you know, waiting to the last minute and still being able to go in there and get something for your New Year's Eve party. They'll be closed on New Year's Day, and then they'll open again on Friday, January 2nd from 10 to 8. So definitely think about Stevie's if you are looking for something that would really impress the drinker in your life. And I had this stuff the other day. It was called, what's it called? Noches Royales or something like that. I don't want to mispronounce it. But it was this like peach cognac. I'm sorry, pear flavored cognac. Oh my God. It was so good. And they have a gift set of it. Comes with a little glass. I bought one for me. And you can, you know, imagine putting that under somebody's tree. So check out Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. And get yourself or someone you love something special. All right, we got to go into the news. When we come back, we'll take a call. 508-996-0500. But now let's turn things over to Mike Roberts.
Several people dead after a small plane crash in Texas. Flu cases are on the rise, and a runaway Christmas decoration damaging cars in Connecticut.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Authorities say at least five people are dead after a Mexican Navy plane crashed on Monday near Galveston, Texas. The plane was carrying a burn patient who was among those killed. The aircraft took off in Mexico and crashed into the Galveston Bay around 3 p.m. local time. Two people survived the crash, another missing and presumed dead. There's no word on why the plane went down, but multiple agencies are investigating. A record number of Americans are expected to travel at least 50 miles from home this holiday season. According to AAA's projections, over 122 million are expecting to travel. It's a 2.2% increase from last year, with the majority of travelers likely driving to their destinations. However, air travel will also reach new heights, with over 8 million Americans flying domestically. Meanwhile, nearly 5 million people are expected to travel via bus, train, or cruise ship. President Trump announcing new Trump-class battleships for the U.S.
They'll help maintain American military supremacy, revive the American shipbuilding industry, and inspire fear in America's enemies all over the world.
During the announcement from Florida, Trump said that they will be the most lethal battleships the world has ever seen. The president said that there will be two ships built first, followed by another eight, and then eventually 25 new battleships. Trump was joined by Secretary of War Pete Hegseth at Mar-a-Lago. It comes after the U.S. has seized more oil tankers from Venezuela as tensions with the South American country rise. The CDC says five states are experiencing very high flu activity.
The five are New York, New Jersey, Rhode Island, Colorado, and Louisiana, with high activity reported in Connecticut, Massachusetts, Georgia, Idaho, Maryland, Michigan, New Mexico, the Carolinas, and Washington, D.C. There were nearly 14,000 confirmed cases in New York City alone in early December, a 460% increase from the same time last year. The surge driven by a new flu variant. The CDC reports at least 4.6 million people have gotten sick from flu. 1,900 adults have died, plus three children. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
Barry Manilow is revealing he's battling lung cancer. In an Instagram post yesterday, the legendary singer said the cancer was found when he underwent an MRI after getting bronchitis. Manilow said that the cancerous spot on his lung was found early. He will undergo surgery to have it removed. The surgery has forced Manilow to postpone several concerts that were scheduled in January, but he plans to be back on stage in Las Vegas by February. There's some exciting news on the Alzheimer's front. Researchers at Chicago's Northwestern University say an experimental drug used on mice blocks early damage from toxic proteins in the brain that cause the common form of dementia. They gave the drug called NU9 to mice before Alzheimer's symptoms appeared, which worked to target the disease at its earliest stage. They believe the same approach could one day be used in people as an early intervention for Alzheimer's. A terrifying reminder of how dangerous improperly secured holiday decorations can be. In a Connecticut neighborhood, Andrew Whitman fills us in.
The wind was strong in Stamford, Connecticut's Harbor Point neighborhood Friday afternoon. So strong, it blew away an oversized holiday ornament, which took off from the tip of Triangle Park, went rolling down Harbor Point Road south and smack into two cars. One driver said they thought they were going to die. The ornament belongs to the neighborhood's developer. They're paying for the car damage. The ornament is back where it started, hopefully tied down a little tighter.
The Kansas City Chiefs are heading across the Missouri River for Kansas. The team and the Kansas governor have reached an agreement to bring the football franchise to Kansas in time for the 2031 season. The new stadium will have a dome, which could attract higher profile events such as the Super Bowl. The Chiefs have been in Kansas City, Missouri since 1963 and their current stadium since 1972.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by John C. Law.
The Celtics beat the Indiana Pacers last night, 103-95. The Bruins host the Canadiens tonight at 7.
Now your WPRI 12 forecast, brought to you by the Ultimate Men's Clinic.
Light rain developing today. It may start off as a little light snow this morning, but changing to rain. Temperature at around 40. Light rain ending tonight, mostly cloudy, low temp down to 30. Christmas Eve, Wednesday, windy morning clouds, then partly sunny, a high of 38. Weather looks nice for Santa on Wednesday night with clear skies. Christmas Day, morning clouds, then partly sunny, seasonably cool with a high around 41. For WBSM, I'm 12 News Chief Meteorologist Tony Petrarca.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
And if you are looking to get yourself a nice, hot, delicious lunch today, or maybe you want to have dinner out because you know you're going to be doing a whole bunch of cooking over the next couple of days, well, Brack's Grill and Tap is the premier bar and grill for elevated cuisine in a casual, relaxed setting, from family dinner to that special date night, or just to get together with friends. Maybe you're going to have your little friends' Christmas gathering where you're going to do your Secret Santa, your Yankee swap. Brack's is a great place for all of that. They have something for everyone and every occasion. You can choose from 24 beers on tap, or sip the finest scotches, bourbons, and whiskeys. It's all at Brack's Grill and Tap in Taunton and Brockton and the all-new Brack's Tavern in Middleborough. You can follow each one of them on Facebook for menu specials and events, and get more info overall at BracksGrillAndTap.com. All right, let's take a phone call here, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You are on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very good. So I used to drive to work quite early and unfortunately missed the show, but yesterday I happened to catch a show, and your very last call with Councilman Burgo kind of rang a bell with me. And first off, I'd like to go back a little bit in time, and they were talking about the budget cuts for the year, and you had him on the show. Mr. Burgo said, well, listen, we could cut something like snow removal, because when we need it later on in the year, we'll just add it in. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a little bit of what's the correct word? Not good judgment, because, you know, when you have a budget, you stick to the budget. You just don't add things in, because that's what brings you in more deficit than you started out with. Budget responsibility would be the correct term. So, but yesterday when he was having one of your phone callers come in, and they were having a bit of a louder exchange, and then your last caller called up and complained about his behavior as a person of that position, that was ringing right through to my head as he was, the phone call person was saying, you know, Mr. Burgo should have had a little bit better acumen being a person of his position and whatnot. And, you know, hopefully, like the caller said, he will, you know, learn from his, you know, lesson, take that constructive criticism. And I'd like to second that constructive criticism, because, you know, these are the holidays. We can, you know, make better and have better years. And, you know, that, maybe the community will be a little bit better for that. But I just wanted to get that off my mind.
No, I can understand that. I mean, like you said, you know, you don't always get to listen. So I don't know how familiar you are with the, you know, the ongoing tensions between the two callers that he was yelling at and him. So there is that little bit of a backstory to it as well. But he, you know, he does have to rise above that and be the adult in the room.
Exactly. Then I do know the backstory, and shame on Mr. on the phone caller too, you know, egging each other on, because that's, you know, they can talk, they can be on different sides of the coins, like a lot of us, and still, you know, agree to disagree, but do so in a much respectable way, because if that's the case, things will be going, instead of, you know, our country, our local communities looking like a laughing stock to the world, because we kind of sometimes we're starting to act a little childlike, you know, if we act a little bit more mature.
Oh, for sure.
Very good. But listen, have a great holiday.
You as well. Hopefully, you
know, and I look forward to hearing you at the beginning of the year, okay?
All right, take care.
Yeah, bye-bye.
And by the way, we will be here next week too. Monday, we'll be here Monday and Tuesday next week. But yes, obviously, you know, the callers who called in and got combative with Council President Burgo, they know that if they push his buttons, he's going to react that way. I don't think it's a coincidence that, you know, before the election, people were calling in trying to irk him, knowing that he does need to kind of be the adult in the room, not, you know, be the more mature person. But at the same time, you know, you can only push somebody so far too. And I think my job here is just to keep that conversation going, or keep the conversation moving along so that other people can get on to the phone. It's not my job to protect him from himself or from the comments that people might make to him. But I do think it's kind of my job to say to the callers, like I did to Carlos yesterday, like, you know, I'm going to give you the chance to apologize for that. You know what I mean? Because we just want to make sure that we know that things get said kind of in the heat of the moment that we know might go too far. the council president does have that entire time to do that, to say, you know what, I think what I did say was a little too far. But he sticks to his guns on it, and the reason why I let it go is because it's not my job to editorialize and say, well, you know, this isn't really who you are, Council President Burgo. You know, I want you to see how he is. And I will say this, I think he's overall, I think he's a great guy. He does a lot of things behind the scenes and for different organizations that he doesn't stop and take a photo for or, you know, need to let anybody know about. And so, you know, I'd say that that's the, you know, 75-80% of who Shane Burgo is. But yes, when people pushes his buttons, he reacts. And I think that that's really expected of anybody. I mean, people get so upset for what Shane Burgo does and for the disrespect that he shows the callers, but I don't hear that same complaining when the president of the United States does it. I don't hear that same complaining when another WBSM talk show host talks that way to somebody. I mean, I hear it from the person who got talked about. But for all the people who think that what Shane Burgo said to the callers yesterday was uncalled for, I've never heard one of those people call up and say, well, you know, the things that Chris McCarthy said about Maria Giesta are just beyond the pale. The things that Barry Richard has said about Joe Biden or Elizabeth Warren or Mara Healey is just beyond the pale. I don't hear that. So you can't have it both ways. Just because Shane Burgo is on the city council, the city council isn't U.S. Congress. The city council isn't the presidency of the United States. You can't hold him to a different, to that different of a standard than you hold other people. You can't say we need to be more civil. And you know, I'm not criticizing the previous caller. I'm just talking generalities here. But you can't say we need to be more civil, and then when things are uncivil in other places because you happen to agree with them, that's okay. Let me see. I can take a call here. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
I'm glad you did take a call. Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Silly.
I know.
Huh? Well, I just turned the phone on and I heard you talking about it. I didn't hear the previous caller.
Let me just clarify one thing before you launch into it. I said the caller is pushing his buttons. I don't think you were intentionally pushing his buttons yesterday.
Okay, thank you. Okay, now, see, he called me a liar, didn't he?
Yes.
Okay. You realize that he's talking out of his pizza? And you know who my witness is? Take a guess who the witness is.
I don't. Just tell us.
Chris McCarthy.
Okay.
You know why? I want to tell you why. Because the incident he was talking, because I asked him, you remember, have I ever lied when I brought something up? And he says, yes. And he went to talk about when we were at City Hall, and me and the chief of police, Paul Olivero, walked out. The meeting's still going on, and we were talking. You come out of the thing, you take a left, like you're going to the elevator at the end of that hallway. Mm-hmm. Not where the elevator is, but you take the left at the end. And all of a sudden, he shows up late, because the chief of police already had talked at the podium and everything, and he got questioned by all the city council. All of a sudden, myself and Paul were out there talking. Okay? Now, all of a sudden, he stopped, and he hijacks my conversation. Okay? He didn't even say excuse me or anything. Started talking to the chief. Okay? We had to be over 10 minutes, close to 15. We never went inside the meeting. And I was getting mad. I even walked away and I came back. And he's going on and on. I says, hey, if you want to ask questions to the chief, why didn't you come to the meet? Matter of fact, you've been out here all the time. They get other people in there. And now he called me a liar because I said that. Okay? Now, what happened was, when he was talking to the chief, you know how he says he never wants to do anything against the cops? He supports the cops and everything. What he told the chief was that he's not going to fund, he's not going to vote for the shot spotter. You know, if somebody takes a shot, the shot spotter says, I'm not going to fund that. I'm going to vote against it. Okay, like he says, oh, I voted for it and all that. And the first thing I did, I called Chris, and I said it to him on the air, which I called yesterday to Chris. And he said, yes, he remembers that.
Well,
I told him that, excuse me?
I will say this, you know, not wanting to fund ShotSpotter doesn't mean that it's, you know, anything against the police. There's a lot of people who think ShotSpotter isn't worth the money.
It ain't worth the money, but let me tell you then, if it's not worth the money, there was an incident that happened up in the North End, okay, on Christian Avenue or something. And the shot spotter, if it wasn't for the shot spotter, a guy got shot in the car. And they went up there and they found the gentleman in the car. If there wasn't for the shot spotter, that guy would have died in that car. That shot spotter saved that guy's life.
Well, listen, I'm not arguing. I'm just telling you that there's you know, some folks, even on the council, that think that it's not worth it because it's not accurate enough. And I don't think that means that they're against having a similar system. I just think that it might be that particular system that they might have an issue with.
I'm using an example, okay? I'm using that example, how he talks from both sides of his mouth, okay?
Well, I'm just trying to say that saying that you don't support ShotSpotter doesn't mean that you don't support the police.
Well, the police think it's all right, the ShotSpotter.
Not all the police officers think so either. A lot of the police officers think that there's fault
so
with it as well.
Oh, we're going to take a vote about the shot, all the police.
Yeah, officers. we had conversations about it a while back. We were getting a lot of calls about it.
Yeah. Did you ever think it's about some people don't want it because that's the way people to get away with stuff? But the bottom line, we're going to talk.
Well, they want it because they want a better system. They want a more accurate system.
Oh, so they do want it, but they're just trying to get something better. But let me go back to the thing that says, you know, when he says about how he always talks, he always stops and talks to people and everything. Mm-hmm. You know the lady that called in yesterday? See that? Remember Paul and...
Paul and Catherine. Catherine? I got about 30 seconds here, Gilly, before I got to go to break. See,
I'm just saying to you that don't give the guy... I get something to say to the whole... to the city councilors, okay? Let me say something to the city council. They think that the cat's meow. And I'm directing this not to all the city councilors, just to the uneducated ones. When they going to say something, make sure that their mind is in gear before they put their mouth in motion. Because they talk and they don't know what they're saying and they're lying about it. And they're misrepresenting the fact, and then they try to cover up what they said. Okay, so don't give credit to them. And he's there. He's laughing, though. He's laughing at people. The gentleman that called isn't for the city afterwards. Okay? That guy was right on a button. If you can't take the heat, get out of that kitchen.
All right. I got to hold you there.
Don't praise the guy. Please, do not praise the guy.
All right.
City council, they haven't done a thing for the taxpayers' money.
All right.
Okay? Thank you very much.
Merry Christmas to you, Gilly. I'll talk to you next week.
You too, pal.
All right. We got to get this break in here. Then 508-996-0500. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting live from the Carefree Home Studios, this is WBSM. Carefree Homes, your home improvement experts. Roofing, siding, windows, and more. Get a free quote at carefreehomescompany.com. Carefree Homes, trusted, local, family.
Now let's go. Come on.
So you know, as kids, we didn't sing the actual lyrics, right? Hey, upgrading your home's energy efficiency can feel overwhelming, but with C2S Energy, you don't have to go it alone. Their certified experts handle everything from assessing your home to recommending the right solutions, whether it's insulation, windows, roofing, or high-efficiency heat pumps. They even navigate the rebate process for you, making it